Disciples are good news people. Good news. The gospel is good news. And this morning, as I shared this message, I mentioned to you, I was greatly impacted by a seminar I attended in January with Daryl Johnson, a seminar he did called, "So What is the Gospel?" And he said to us, "I hope that at the end of this workshop, you will go home saying to yourself, wow, I didn't realize the gospel was this big." And I can tell you that I went home thinking to myself, wow, I didn't realize the gospel is this big. And Matthew 24:14, Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, some of the passages that we will be looking at in there. So can I tell you that if you are here as a Christian today, it is because someone shared the good news with you or with one of your ancestors. Your parents, your grandparents, an aunt, an uncle, but somebody took the time to share good news with you or with someone in your family line. Karis, 2 years ago, we went to Idaho, and she and my niece and my mom had gone on a girls' day out. She asked my mom questions, and she recorded the answers. And my mom, again, told a story of how she had gone to get her hair done. And the hairdresser said, "Are you a Christian?" And my mom said she was kind of offended by that. It's like, what else could I be? Having a Catholic background, that was her idea. And so they began to share the gospel and share the gospel and share the gospel. And they continued to share the gospel. And now the three of us children that she has, we're serving the Lord, families. And there's so many people in our in my family, both my mom and my dad's side, that have come to know Christ because someone shared the good news with her. And this is what we are called to do. So, you know, with COVID-19 happening, people are asking, well, is this one of those biblical plagues? One of these pestilence that Matthew talks about and the gospel talks about? Are we coming to the end of the world? Well, one of the things that Jesus said when he talked about some of those things, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Part of what will happen that will bring the end of the age as we know it is the spread of the gospel. And while we have the technology to do so, there are areas of the world where the gospel has not yet been preached. But it's happening more and more and more. So we can have this confidence that we need to preach the gospel. There's people in our culture nowadays that do not know the gospel. Let me mention these points that Daryl Johnson mentioned. His synthesis of the gospel, as he calls it. First of all, the gospel is public news with public implications. It's not meant to be kept a secret. So if we are followers of Jesus, then it's our responsibility to share this good news. And the word gospel was not a religious word. But back in the day when a ruler made an edict, made a decision, he would send gospelizers or evangelists, people that would go and declare what the ruler had decided and how it impacted them locally. And in the same way, the gospel is good news with public implications for the world. And it's God's good news. It's not just good news that, you know, our hockey team did well, that our soccer team won, or that, you know, I passed my exam, or that the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. All of those are good news, but the gospel is God's good news. Number three, that gospel, that good news is centered in and on Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the gospel, that it's about Jesus. Two of us were watching the video for our morning life group, and it talks about there's the early life of Jesus, the ministry of John the Baptist, and in the middle is the central person of the gospel, Jesus. We need to remember that. Number four, it's grounded in events and facts involving Jesus Christ. People may debate all kinds of things about Jesus. But the fact that he lived and that he, what the Gospels record, the things that he did, those are factual things. It's not a myth. We need to remember that. We can argue about what, you know, who he was. Was he who he claimed to be? What about his teachings and all of these things? But there's Jesus, and it's based on that information. Number five, the gospel, it's the revelation of the meaning and consequences of those events. That Jesus was born, lived, ministered, was suffered in the trials and his passion, that he was crucified, that he died on the cross, that he was buried in a tomb, and that he rose again from the dead. But what do those events mean? And what are the consequences of those events? You remember when Jesus came back to life? He said, well, I told you I was going to do this. And then Jesus in Acts 1:8 tells his disciples, the end of times, the Father has determined that. But for you now, stay in Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be my witnesses. You will go and share this good news in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Right? And that's what we've been reading in the book of Acts, how the gospel keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. And these consequences of these events are significant, because if Jesus is who he claims to be, then our life should, we have decisions to make in our lives, choices to make. Number six, it's anticipation of the fulfillment of a promise. There are things that are yet to happen, things that are coming in the future, but they're going to come. The epistle writers, Paul says that this is the blessed hope of the church. This is not as good or as bad as it gets. There is more and better. That's the exciting part, folks. That while the kingdom of God has begun to be established here on earth, and there's been a definitive victory of Jesus over the powers of evil and darkness, it has not been fully established just yet. You know, in some countries, an election takes place, but those that are elected don't take power until a few weeks or months down the road. But they've been elected. And in the same way, Jesus has started something, and it's already guaranteed it is going to happen. It hasn't been fully fulfilled yet, but it will. And lastly, the gospel is embodied in a new community. You know what that community is called? I'll let you in. The church. The church. We are the new community. We are to be the agents, the promoters of this good news. We are to reflect what it means to live in a new kingdom, in a new reality. We are to live by the teachings of Jesus. Things like the Beatitudes, being humble, being peacemakers, being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, being willing to suffer. We are to forgive our enemies. We are not only to obey the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. We are to be the people that love one another so much that people wonder, what in the world is different about these people? This is who the church is to be. This is why Jesus left us here. This is why when a person becomes a follower of Christ, they're not immediately, you know, they don't die immediately and go to heaven. If the point of being a Christian was simply to make it to heaven, then the ideal plan would be you become a Christian, you die, you go to heaven. But we're still here because we have work to do. And part of that work is to be good news people, to share the good news with everyone around us. So I have a question. If God's grace is so amazing, why are we not sharing it? Right? We sing, "Your grace is amazing, so something and unchanging." Or, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee." Can I ask? If God's grace is so amazing, why do the followers of Christ not share it? If it transformed our lives, why wouldn't we not allow others to know that so that their lives too can be transformed? This is part of a real serious part of what I think the church, particularly in North America and the West, is a challenge for us. Our religion has become so private. And in part, we as a church haven't always done a good job of knowing how to share this good news in a way that is not the gospel in itself. There's an offense to that. But sometimes we make it even more offensive. People need to also see in us the winsomeness of Christ, the attractiveness of Christ. So I think this is a question worth asking each one of us. If God's grace is so amazing, why aren't we sharing it? So I want to mention a few things of why sharing the gospel is necessary. Here they are. Because Jesus commanded us to do it. Do we need more reason to share it than that? I think that ought to be enough. But in case you need it, some more. The Holy Spirit has come to empower us to do it. Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem. I will send out my Holy Spirit and he will give you power so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit comforts us. Yes, the Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' teaching. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is yet to come. Yes, yes, yes to all of those things. But one of the primary reasons the Holy Spirit is given is to empower us to share this good news. And of course, he is already at work in people's lives, drawing them to Jesus. Third, sharing the gospel is necessary because the gospel, the power of the gospel, has transformed our lives. It really has. Think of what your life would be if Jesus, his gospel, had not transformed your life. Think of where our world would be. We think it's in bad shape. It would be in a lot worse shape. The power of the cross is still effective today. It's still transforming lives. It can still radically change anyone that will in faith trust in the work of Christ on the cross, his resurrection, and his offer of a new life, eternal life for us. Number four. Sharing the gospel is necessary because there are lost people. Right? We have people in our lives, in our families, our friends. There are people that don't know Jesus. They are as far from Jesus as that can be. Maybe not as far as they think and not as far as we think, but they are definitely separated in that they're not in a personal dynamic relationship with Him. They are lost people. It's hard. I know it's hard in our culture where people seem to have pretty much everything. Of course, moments like this are wonderful because people are saying, okay, you know, my investments might be gone, my health might be compromised, my job might be gone. Like, where do I go? Great opportunity for the people of God to be good news people. It really is. But there are lost people, and that's why we need to share the gospel. Number five is that heaven and hell are real. We don't talk about hell very much. We don't talk about heaven very much. Except, you know, oh, hell. But they're real places. And whatever all they are, hell, I think the real ugly thing about hell is that people are separated from the presence of an all-loving God. And, you know, this idea that, you know, when hell freezes over, I'll ski there too. That's not going to happen. Or, you know, my friends will be there, we'll party. Your friends will not be your friends in hell. This is part of what the reality, the ugliness of hell, whatever else it has physically, whatever other forms of punishment it entails. The one thing for sure that is in itself enough to make us want to share the gospel with people. The good news is that it's separation, eternal separation from God, away from His presence. That's five good enough reasons for us to share the gospel. But just in case you need another one, I'm going to give you a last one. And I think the single biggest reason to share the gospel is this: Jesus died to save sinners. Jesus died to save lost people. Jesus suffered on the cross before the cross all this awful physical punishment that was horrible, absolutely horrible. And He did that to save lost people, to bring people to Himself. Let me try one of these mics. Is this better? I think my battery has died. Friends, if Jesus died on the cross to pay on our behalf the penalty of sin, the righteous Holy One dying for the guilty, He paid a debt, as we used to sing, He did not owe. A debt that I could never pay. That is the single biggest reason why sharing the gospel is a good idea and why we should be good news people. As the Moravians used to say, to earn for the Lamb the rewards of His sufferings. That's a good way of putting it. To earn for the Lamb the rewards of His sufferings. Again, I remind you, I read it a couple of weeks ago. This writer who said that if this happened, maybe that religion could save. Or if salvation meant this, maybe that religion could save. And if salvation meant this, maybe this could save. He says, but if salvation means liberation from the powers of sin and evil and death, then only Jesus saves. Remember that. Only Jesus saves. Let me quickly
talk about this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very ends of the age." Three things. This is a great claim. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Everywhere. That is a very outrageous claim if it's not true. If it's not true, we should ignore Jesus and walk away. But if it's true, then we ought to follow him. If it's true, then we ought to surrender our lives to him. If it's true, he deserves all of our love, all of our affection, all of our lives. Then the Great Commission. Go on and make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. Help them to live the way I want them to live. That's for all of us. He's asking every one of us to do that. And thirdly, the great promise. You don't have to do this alone. I'll be with you. I think that part of that promise also involves what he then later says in Acts. I'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. Why? Because he knows that we in ourselves can't do it. So he's going to help us, send us the helper. That's another way to translate the name Holy Spirit. The paraclete, a helper. So he promises to be with us. We should absorb the truth, power, and beauty of the gospel so that we can reflect it outwardly, infect everyone we touch with it, and make gospel proclamation in all its dimensions the church's chief project. These are N.T. Wright's words. And I guess in this COVID-19, using the word infection is a good idea. Imagine if the gospel was spreading as fast as COVID-19. This was the original good virus that was meant to be spread. That we shouldn't take measures against prevention of its spread. Four simple things that I think each one of us can do to be good news people. Number one, resource yourself. A lot of people say, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to share the good news. Go to Right Now Media. We have a subscription to it. I think all of you have been invited. If you haven't talked to me, we'll send you an invitation. It's this massive library online that has lots of great resources, including wonderful resources to equip you to share the good news. And the best thing you can do when sharing good news is to share your story of how your life has been transformed by the power of the gospel. Number two, pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. God is reaching out to people. The Holy Spirit is already at work. We don't have to start from scratch. Sometimes we get this idea that we have to start from scratch. No, we don't. God's already at work in people's lives. But pray and say, "Lord, this day, this week, would you bring someone my way that I can just share a little bit about you?" If we make that our daily prayer, a regular petition before the Father, I think he will make that possible. Number three, befriend or be friendly to non-Christians. Befriend. I've heard it more recently than I have for many years combined. I don't have any non-Christian friends. So let's befriend some non-Christians. Let's be friendly to them. This day and age is a great opportunity to do that, to just be friendly to people. And simple things that we can do for them. Like, you know, buy an extra pack of toilet paper for your neighbor. But be friendly. Just be friendly. And number four, leave the results in God's hands. You don't have to be the one that convinces them. You don't have to be the one that gets them over the finish line to they say yes to Jesus. It might be, the Lord might allow you to do that. That'd be wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. But the results are not our responsibility. You share the good news. You pray for people. You're friendly to them. And let God, the Holy Spirit, do the work of them saying to Jesus, you might get to be a part of it. That would be really cool. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science, right? Is there any step here that you say, oh, that is just too hard. I couldn't do that. Any of them? They're really simple. That's all our responsibility for all of us. The Christians, the early Christians, they went throughout the world, the known world, to share the goodness of the gospel. And when they didn't go on their own, out of their own initiative, God brought something called persecution to help them move a little further out into till they made it to the end of the known world. With the gospel going as far as Spain. With, as tradition tells us, the Apostle Thomas going all the way to India. And the gospel spread. And guess what? It's still spreading. And God wants to bring lots of people to himself. So that what John saw in Revelation, when he says, and I saw a multitude that no one could count from every tongue, tribe, and nation before the throne of God worshiping. Isn't it cool that we can have a little part in making that a reality? That, friends, is what I mean by saying that we need to be good news people. Father, help us to be good news people. Because the good news of Jesus Christ has transformed our lives. Lord, there are people that have not heard it, have not heard it well, haven't had a good example of what a Christian looks like, who you are already working in their lives through the power of your Holy Spirit, drawing them to yourself. I ask you to please help us each day, each week, Lord, that not only do we equip ourselves, but that we pray to you for opportunities to share the good news. Where, Lord, we can be friend non-Christians. We can be friendly to non-Christians. And in prayer, leave you to do the work on bringing people to yourself. Because you sent your son to die on the cross and made available to the world that whosoever believes would have eternal life in Jesus. Help us to be the agents that spread this good news in our world. And if you allow us, if you prompt us, if you push us, or you put it in our hearts, even to the ends of the earth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.